This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, Trailblazers. Welcome to another episode of MFG Out Loud. We have something special for you today. And I got a quick question for you, Ray.
Yes.
I know we talk a lot about words that kind of make us cringe. Mm-hmm. One of mine is moist.
Yeah.
And today's guest does something that kind of, the word makes me cringe too. Cybersecurity.
You're not alone there. You're not alone.
Right?
Yeah.
So now it's ironic because I used to feel that way until I met this guy and listened to him on numerous podcasts and roundtables that we've been on together. Listen to him explain it. So I am excited today to help our listeners also feel more comfortable with cybersecurity and actually to embrace it. And this is the guy to do that. Jacob Warren from Warren Research. Welcome to the show. And Jacob is a veteran and his business does IT support and cloud services. And he does that from the beautiful Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Yes.
Shout out Coeur d'Alene. And Jacob said something. He says this on his LinkedIn profile, but he says it too, and it really stuck with me in different podcasts he's been on. Technology is supposed to make your life simpler, not more complicated. And I call this guy the rare bird because he's also an IT guy that gets marketing. Right. What? So
let's this freak, off. Freak.
Totally. So Jacob.
A little.
It's a big buildup. Don't let me down, man.
I'll try my best.
No. So why do you think, I'll start the questions, Ray, and then I'll let you have a turn. Jacob, why do you think the word cybersecurity makes people cringe?
Because it is annoying. It's frustrating, or at least that's how it has been.
Confusing.
In the past. It's complex. It's this big meme monster. Everybody knows they need to address it, and it just sits out there. That's the impression you get from it.
Yeah.
The great news is, it's truly not once you start diving in. And there's some basic principles that you can apply, especially as manufacturers, that can help you increase the level of security you have over your digital assets across the board. But yeah, really it's about the idea or the stigma that has been around that it's this complex, convoluted mess that once you start diving into it, you're just going to treat it kind of like that boat that's out in the water and you just keep throwing the money at it and hoping one day that you'll get some value out of it. But really, the great news is, today, it's not the case. It's a lot more easy to work with.
Which should be music to the ears of manufacturers everywhere. Because, you know, Allison and I both do a lot of work in the manufacturing space. And, you know, one of the things I've come across recently in the Midwest in particular, that one of the three top things that manufacturers, typically small, mid-sized guys, are interested in right now. Number one is growth. Number two is staffing. And for the first time ever, displacing worker safety and OSHA compliance and those things, it's cybersecurity. So it's rising up in terms of visibility and everybody knows they need to do something about it. But I think right now they're still feeling like it's, you got to take your, you know, eat your vegetables or you got to go work out. You know, give us something for the manufacturers. Why is this so crucial for them? And what are some of the perhaps misconceptions we can knock out of the way?
Yeah. And one of the most crucial components is the amount of intellectual property that manufacturers, depending on what you're manufacturing, you're dealing with a lot of important information that your customers are entrusting you with. And it's incredibly important as a manufacturer that you put in the proper safeguards to help ensure that that data is safe. They're trusting you with their baby a lot of the times. And depending on who is your customer, there's a lot of smaller manufacturers and mid-sized manufacturers that do a lot of business with the military and things like that. And it's increasingly important that you are a part of the supply chain. So ensuring that you're protecting that data and being able to prove that you are is increasingly important. And the great thing with cybersecurity, when we talk approach it, you know, as the coined phrase and just security overall, is the cost of devices management and the ongoing maintenance of that has lowered quite a bit, especially over recent years. The technology is constantly improving. The kind of cause and effect that ends up happening out of having a lot of security threats is you always have companies trying to innovate and trying to one up and step out and protect you. Where that manageability comes in is a lot of manufacturers, you have that one person that's, you know, trying to maintain the technology, whether in-house or you have an IT vendor that's working with it. They now have the tools to show you exactly what's going on in your environment without breaking the bank in order to do so. So the overall cost is a lot lower than it ever has been. And so that brings in the ability to allow you to put in the right things in place in order to you as a manufacturer to be able to truly ensure safety of the intellectual property that your customers are trusting you with.
Does that, and not to, here we are getting off track already, but hey. You know, a couple of things. So much of what manufacturers are facing today is more and more SaaS platforms, a software as a service, where they're plugging in and getting different things. So they know there's some stuff going on in the cloud, and there's perceptions about how secure that is or isn't to be engaging that way. And the other side of the coin is people that have their own server rooms and everything's on-prem. Is there a false sense of security because it's within your four walls that nobody's going to get to it?
Absolutely. So to answer first, the server room and having everything in-house. When you do that, you're taking it, there's this, what we in the security industry refer to as an attack surface. You're taking on all responsibility for all cyber threats and saying, hey, you know what? I'm the source where you're going to find the threats. So you're going to have to beef up security in order to do that. There is a happy balance that each manufacturer or each business has to find, because there are issues with bandwidth and a whole bunch of nerdy things depending on where you're located and who your target clients are. So it's increasingly important that if you're a manufacturer that's growing and you're going after those larger clients, you need to, part of your burden rate needs to go into the constant increase in cybersecurity resources to help protect that information. The second piece with having some things in the cloud. So when you choose a good hardware provider and SaaS provider, they will provide you full details of exactly what data is where at what point, and they provide you a way to audit that. Where that comes in handy is when you're talking about threats that happen today. Nobody knows what has seen the threat, but you know it's coming into your network. You can offset, depending on what devices you are implementing, you can offset the resource requirement to kind of investigate all the technical aspects of that by having it pipe off to a sandbox that a major security hardware provider is with. It's called a sandbox. They'll evaluate it and then give you a report based on it because they can see that something's not quite right.
Interesting.
So whereas if you have everything in-house, then you're going to have larger servers, larger network hardware, and all that translates to more dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a happy balance that it truly does come down to manufacturer, what does the next year to 2 years look like as far as what customers are you bringing on? What are you doing as a company?
What do you mean? You actually have to plan for this IT stuff?
Well, yeah. Well, and you're already doing it. You are already doing it.
No, most wait till it breaks, well, and then they call you up on the weekend.
So when you take on, when a manufacturer takes on a vendor, or not vendor, but a customer, they already know what the burden rate is, they're bidding on it, and all that. IT, think of it as being a worker. You have that worker, assign a dollar value to that worker, and then put in the burden rate. And that's, if you plan for it and never use it, great. But if you plan for it, and as compliance, the fines for not being compliant are going to start hitting a lot more. Because there is no reason why you shouldn't take these precautions.
Good point.
Well, and question, why, I guess I should say it this way. How are manufacturers more of a target than they realize? Do you think it's mostly the ones that are working with like defense contracts and tech, or do you have any other thoughts about that?
Think of it this way. From a criminal standpoint, who's it easier to affect? Somebody that's walking down the street that has armor on and all that stuff, or the person that's walking down the street that looks like if the wind blew, they'd blow away. Cyber criminals know that a majority of manufacturers, especially nowadays, are small businesses. They're not going to implement the resources. So they already have a sweet spot. They know that you are going to be easier to break into than if they were going after Boeing, Lockheed Martin, or any of those, because those are pretty much Fort Knox. But they know that Jim Bob, by going to Sam and finding out who got the subcontracts, they can go through and say, hey, you know what? The Jim Bob's Manufacturing, which is a $50 million a year company, hey, they're probably not really investing in their IT a whole bunch. And because in that manufacturer is still thinking that I got to drop, $100,000. No, we're talking about 10th of the cost just in that you could make yourself quite secure, but they know that you are easier to break into, so they're going to target you more.
So it really is like everywhere, I guess it's the crime of opportunity. They make it easier, but it's not always. I've been through this, and I'd rather hear from your perspective. What's a typical way in? How do they get into the networks? Is it always they grab somebody's email, or are there other ways?
We could go in. There are, from technology, there's something as simple as that. But what a lot of people miss is the social engineering aspect of it. Let's say that somebody's just paying attention to a shipping label that comes out from, there's a piece of equipment that you guys manufactured and sent somewhere. Well, now somebody can go up and be like, okay, they are supplying to company X. I'll call them up as company X and say, hey, you know what? That design that we sent you, hey, I forgot to send you that. What is your email address? And I'll resend the file for you guys to review. Now, a engineer would be like, oh, yeah, and a hacker can spoof the email and send it to you. And now you open up the file if you don't have anything. And so there's social engineering aspects of it. There's the tech nerdy stuff that happens. But what a lot of people miss is cyber threats is a pie of attacks. Not only that, even though Company X is manufacturing a faceplate for something, it might not make any sense, but malicious attackers, they're not always going after money. They're also looking to cause disruptions. What happens if they go, if you're not in managing the control of your data files? Who's to say if somebody got access to it, they just make a small change in one of the variants or tolerance levels of something you're manufacturing. You wouldn't pick it up, but later on down the supply chain, that variance now caused millions of dollars of damage, not because a vendor ordered a product from you. You did it to the tolerance based on the specifications as you thought, but you had no way to prove that the file that you got was the actual file that you were supposed to receive. And so, as you can see, it can turn into a rabbit hole that can be avoided by implementing something as simple as firewall and having auditable file management that is built into a lot of these solutions that aren't going to break the bank.
And that's a perfect segue, because how do you know what suite of tools, or how do you know what to do? If I'm a manufacturer, what do I do about it? You know,
The first thing you have to do is define who's the target customers that you are going after, or who are the customers that you currently are working with. A lot of times, depending on if you are going after defense, or if you're going after, if you're doing something, plumbing supplies, you're doing some type of piping, whatever it is, define what that is. Within that industry, you know, you can identify what are the typical points of risk. You know, something that's widget X, great if you're only ever going to do that widget. But if you're dealing with multiple clients and multiple sets of information, you need to ensure that you're protecting the information that you're getting. The same thing goes with internal employee information. If you wouldn't trust putting your HR files on your server, how are you going to trust putting your clients' files on your server? Yeah. If you're running into that, from that point, work with either your internal IT staff or an IT vendor that has an open line of communication, that is not trying to push, you know, just one product, but they're trying to ask you, okay, yes, a firewall is great, but that's not the silver bullet. What are you doing in your daily operation? And the other thing is you have to be able to work with somebody that wants to increase the security without hindering efficiency. So there is a soft balance. There's simple things you can do. And a lot of that comes down to culture as well. But the big key thing is having a vendor, having an internal IT person or team that you can talk openly of where is your business going? What are you doing? It's truly an intimate conversation that you need to have. And if you don't trust your internal IT to have that conversation, you need to reevaluate some things internally before moving on. But it really comes down, you need to be able to trust the people that are helping design the solution, and they should be willing to give you a set that if you fired them, you have all the keys. So being willing to be fired in IT industry is something that gets missed a lot, because we tend to look at it, hey, they're a knowledge silo, I'm scared of that person. You should never be scared of IT.
Yeah.
Yet, I'd love to know what your experience has been with this. My experience has been just about every manufacturer I've ever worked with has an IT person who sort of lives in a silo, it seems. And nobody really knows what this person does. Nobody has like a set of keys, like you just said. And I always find it ironic. And that person is usually a roadblock whenever we're trying to do something new with marketing, with their website. It's this complete resistance just simply because they're afraid, they don't understand what it is we're trying to do. And so they just say no, just without knowing, they say no. And it really causes a lot of really hold up, you know, senseless hold up. So have you found the same thing, Ray, or have you had a different experience?
No, I've lived it. I was chuckling because it also sounds like tool makers. They can be the same way too. And sometimes it's a function of they don't know how to do something or they don't want to. So it's, it's a challenge. It really is. But that's the short answer is yes, I've seen it. And yes, it has devastating impact. Jacob, what are your thoughts? I mean, this is your playground. I mean, how do you navigate around that?
There are a couple different ways. One, if your IT person has not done any continuing education seminars or anything like that, or you've held up as the owner or anything, not investing in that, imagine never sharpening a tool. Yeah. That's what you're doing to that person. And that stagnation is what can happen. The other thing is an IT person, if you're openly communicating with them, there are external auditing companies that can monitor those solutions. An IT person should be able to, whether it's internal or external, bring you a snapshot of the entire system in a printout report that would make sense to you and say, here's what's going on. Here's how many instances X, Y, Z, and happen to this month in our monthly review or however often you have a review. It comes down to that communication piece I was talking about earlier and having a collaborative environment, because a lot of people push off that IT person as well and say, no, we don't want anything. You just create headaches. You have to shift in the organization. Just as like you're trying to adapt to market changes, technology is only, we're approaching where there's new, amazing new hardware that's coming out that's going to be cheaper and cheaper. Again, that means the security risks are going to increase and you're going to need to have somebody that is wanting to keep up on it. Mm-hmm. And you do have to invest into those people. There is an issue within the cybersecurity community as a whole. There's not enough people go around. That's again where you get into that SaaS balance, because that's balance, you can't send somebody to every class out there, especially if you're not paying them an arm and a leg, which some are worth it, some are not. But that's where that information you're getting out of the system can help you as an IT operator and as a business owner look at the visibility of your system. You wouldn't do that. If you're manufacturing something without a set of plans, or let's say that you have, we used to call them travelers when I worked in engineer that, you know, that would go with the tool.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go a day without knowing where is everything. Well, IT components, assets, and all that stuff, and security have been able to spit out those reports for quite a few years.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is visibility should be a key component. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's hiding something, or they're using the, well, we can't do it with this, then you ask, what does it take to get to where we can see that? There's no reason not to know what's going on in your system.
Good point. Let me ask you a question, kind of out of the blue. In today's environment, who should IT report to?
The owner, CEO, or GM.
You're right. Yeah. No. Historically, in my world, historically, it was something that got thrown under accounting or finance. And it's with so much technology finding its place on the factory floor, the only place you can create a linkage is when the owner, or the GM, or whoever says, no, you're going to play together. You know,
yeah.
Get me a result. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and that's comes down to the open lines communication. A IT person, you want to have a practitioner be at that level. And now there are CIOs and things like that, you need to make sure that somebody that can communicate the technical pieces, but yet, or understands the technical pieces in depth, and is not just reading a report that was provided to them, because you are going to make strategic changes within the manufacturing environment, automation, and after, you know, different tools that are taken on in order to do bigger and larger things, whether it's, you know, 4X, you know, I don't know a lot, but your machinists are amazing. You know, there's more complex tools out there. You need to have your IT person in the same room, because they're the person that has to make it all talk together and talk together safely, while allowing you to keep costs and your overall burden rate lower, so you can be more profitable and continue to grow your business.
I think I'm sad. We've gone long today and we have to wrap up. However, my favorite word from today was collaborative. Nice. I mean, I've never heard that word in conjunction with IT, and I love it. I think you're right. And I think it's the same on my side with marketing, sales, and operations, and with Ray, right? We're always talking about collaborating so that it's like this instead of, you know, you're over here in your own silo. Yeah. So I think this is just one more example of, all departments working together on a united, exactly, on a united front. Well, man, I hate to let you go. You got to come on again.
That's right.
Hey, anytime.
Hey, any manufacturer listening, and Jacob did not know I was going to say this, and I normally don't, but if you need help with your cybersecurity, not afraid to say it anymore, right? Get a hold of Jacob. Look him up on LinkedIn. Warren Research, Jacob Warren. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest and for being a trailblazer. We appreciated having you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Ray, you want to take us out, buddy?
I can give it a shot. So thank you, Jacob. Again, awesome, awesome time with you today. To our fans and guests and followers and the folks that are out there, if you liked what you heard today and feel that you got something from it, please hit the like button. Let us know you're out there. Hit the follow button. If you really enjoyed it, please tell your friends, because we're doing this for you, and we want to keep bringing you awesome guests like Jacob Warren. So thanks so much for hanging with us. And Allison, what do we tell them?
Keep manufacturing out loud, because we need you.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.